Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Portland residents, citizens of San Diego,
residents of Atlanta,
Denver residents,
attention,
Dallas residents.
In a remote African jungle, a small monkey is captured. The animal carries a deadly virus.
Now, I know
it's not a small monkey in an African jungle. It's a Liberian who should never have been permitted to enter America. But as a result of the liberal psychotics who have destroyed and debased every element of America that was worth respecting, America now has the scourge, the plague of Ebola to contend with. I could ask you, who do you blame for the Ebola outbreak in America? But it's a redundant question. There was no Ebola in America until Obama and his minions, his not-so-merry pranksters, refused to do what was necessary, which is close the damn borders to all travelers from the regions of infection. That's the primary rule of epidemiology. Beginners in graduate school learn that. At least they used to learn it. Of course, once the politically correct psychosis invaded even the graduate schools, people don't even talk about maintaining or containing illnesses anymore. They talk about treating illnesses. That's the new watchword. They think they can treat Ebola? Really? How's that working out in Africa? It's spreading like a plague in Africa because it's not treatable in Africa. And if you think you're immune, good luck to you. Now, good luck to you. I want to tell you this. People are debating whether Obama is out to destroy America purposely or through incompetence. The answer is it doesn't matter because whatever this man has touched has been a ruination. There's nothing he has done that has worked correctly. Now it's come down to infections and disease. And again, the country is like a dumb country, like a nation of dummies. I don't understand how this country became so dumb so fast. There's no common sense anywhere. You've got a liar at the Centers for Disease Dissemination, Dr. Friedkin. Dr. Friedkin is nothing but a political hack from the get-go. He was selected by a selected community that wanted no quarantine of any kind for any illness ever. So as a result now, you have an Ebola outbreak in America. They should have quarantined the patients in Africa. So now we find out it's even worse than we think. He had contact with 10 children, and they won't even identify what flight he was on. How do you like that? Your liars at the CDC will not even identify which flight this infected individual from Africa was on when he came from Liberia. Did he come directly from Liberia, or did he go to Paris? Did he go Liberia, Paris? Dallas? Did he go Liberia, Frankfurt, New York, Dallas? I don't know. Wouldn't a legitimate government, a government that really cared about the health of the people, the safety of the people, say if you were on these flights, please get checked, go to a hospital? But that's not a legitimate government that's operating today. We have an illegitimate punitive government. I'm not the only one saying it. Some powerful billionaires are finally speaking out against the psychosis coming out of the White House. Just as the Secret Service can no longer protect the president, as evidenced by what's been going on, because they put a clown, politically correct clown, in charge of the Secret Service, who thought she bulled her way through the session yesterday just by talking loud and looking tough. She looked like just what she is, a woman who bullied her way to the top of the Secret Service. Now you have a guy who was put into the CDC who was nothing but a political front man, a mouthpiece, in other words, for the crowd that runs America the way they're running it. So look, I can talk about this till kingdom come. What good is it going to do you? What good is it going to do you to learn today that the mystery illness that is not such a mystery to me, that was brought in here by accident or on purpose by Obama and his minions from Central America, the so-called virus, ED68 or whatever the number is they're giving it, we know that it emanated from Central America. We know that many of the children coming in from Central America by Obama's direct orders on by the trainload were infected with tuberculosis and viral-like symptoms. And how do we know that was true? Because the Border Patrol was telling us. They were begging us to stop it. But Obama is such a zealot. Obama is so intent upon pushing his agenda and satisfying La Raza and forces like La Raza that he cared nothing about the health of the nation nor the safety of the nation. So wherever you turn, there is a disaster, a wreckage. If we had a legitimate president with a conscience, he would resign. He would say, you know what, I meant well, but I screwed up at every level, I'm resigning. But you don't have such a situation. You have a zealot who has no conscience, in my opinion. He has no knowledge of the damage he's doing. Perhaps he doesn't even understand what he's done. Or perhaps he does know what he's done. What's the difference, what the situation is? Meanwhile, Steve Wynn, one of America's own billionaires, owns the Wynn Resort in Las Vegas and casinos in Macau, said that I'm more scared about the United States than China. I don't know if you understand what this means. Listen to what he said. He's more scared about the United States than I am about China, he told CNBC this week at the Global Gaming Expo in Las Vegas. He said the protests in Hong Kong have become sort of a party out there. Are you listening? He said the situation in China will be resolved because everyone in China is pragmatic and practical. And he goes on about China, and he says, the central government of China is willing to let everybody vote, but they want to have some positive input on the nominations, blah, blah, blah. And he said they want to maintain control. Then he compares the business climate in China to that of the United States, and he says the regulatory burden in China is infinitesimal compared to the crap we get in America. And then he goes on. And then he goes on to say this. Are you ready for this? And you got to hear this one. He says, I am stunned at the immaturity of this administration. We elected a man as president who had no experience at anything. Did you hear that one? Do you like that one? And then he goes on to the possibility that the federal government in the United States may punish companies that do inversions. He says the administration wants to punish everybody. That's part of the political mentality at the moment in America. Punish people. That's the story of Obama. He only knows how to hate and hurt. The phone number is 855-407-282. Are you worried about the Ebola epidemic? Are you at all worried about it? Does it concern you? Are you concerned that this administration is so incompetent that the Ebola epidemic is going to get out of control in the United States? We've got beheadings. We've got ISIS running wild despite the impotent airstrikes. We have a White House intruder who gets into the White House. We have a psychosis that goes to the head of the Pentagon where they send 3,000 American troops right into Africa, into the hot zone of Ebola. We have open borders with children's viral illnesses and tuberculosis, which is a bacterial illness, now coming to America. Now we have patient zero sitting there in Texas. Now we have the liars at the CDC with psychosis. I keep using the same word, psychotic talking points. They will not reveal the airline. They will not reveal the details. As a friend of mine from London just wrote, he said, this guy passed by thousands of people, airports, taxi rides, sent both to and from the hospital in Dallas, and were told nothing to worry about by Dr. Friedkin. They will release no information to us. And then he says, I meet myself. Listen to what he said to me. How many years have I been telling you that we should have health and safety controls at the borders? Who was the one who categorized borders, language, culture? Me. Who was the one who defined a nation by its borders, language, and culture? Me. Who was the one who's written about borders, language, and culture since 1994? Michael Savage. We have no borders. Our common language has been bastardized by an administration that wants to turn us into a polyglot nation that is more like the Tower of Babel than the United States of America. Need I say culture? What culture emanates from the White House that you could be proud of? Tell me the culture. Have you seen a classical musician invited to the White House after this administration took office? Have you seen anyone of any class invited to the White House in the entertainment world since this administration took power? I haven't. Maybe I've missed it. I've seen the most vile rap stars, the lowlifes of Hollywood. He's turned it into a gutter. He says, I most recently flew to Paris with horrible flu. I had fever. I was sweating. I was coughing in the airplane. No one asked me a question. I flew Air France first class, an $18,000 ticket. Nobody asked me a question about my coughing, my sweating, and my fever. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you? It's a nation that's been broken down completely. The only question we have is it too late to say? But that's the only question left to ask. Do you understand it's the only question? It's not who did it, why did it happen. First of all, I don't think this country can survive 2 more years of Obama, incidentally. For a while, I was an optimist that we could. And I have to tell you, I don't think we can. He has escalated his assaults and his incompetencies to a level that, if it goes on a geometric level of what we have now, Secret Service, you name it. If it goes in a geometric progression, we're finished. There's no recovering from it. And so I have to tell you, we're down to the wire. And what can we do about it is the only question. We have a slight window in November to throw every Democrat out. Every last Democrat, socialist, Islamist, even if they're reasonably moderate, must be fired. You have to eliminate the Democrat Party in America for good. You must understand what they've done to this country because of their psychosis and their agenda. The Democrat, Socialist, Islamist Party has destroyed this country. You say, well, the Republicans are not much better. I would agree with you, but the key word here is much. Because there's 3 degrees of separation, and those 3 degrees make a big difference downstream. And secondly, we have a chance to lobby the check pants Republicans after they win in November. We can reach them. The Democrats are closed to us. They will not listen to anyone. The Democrat, Socialist, Islamist machine is a closed shop. They will not listen to an American citizen. They don't care what you think. Unless you're from a foreign country or an infected individual from Africa, you cannot speak to a Democrat. Well, we'll find out if it's different when the Republicans win. It's why I wrote Stop the Coming Civil War. And yes, I'm going to talk about it. And the reason I'm going to talk about it is because I thought about it last night. Why should I even tell my people? What's in it for them to buy my book? Why should they buy Stop the Coming Civil War? What's going to buy me a new Cadillac, a new Mercedes, a Rolls Royce, a boat? I don't need any of that. I don't want it. What I did here in these hundreds of pages with all these references is lay out an architectural plan for saving America. First, I told you in every theater what he's done to the country. You need the evidence. And the second reason I want you to have the book is not only to convince friends and neighbors to vote the Democrats out. All of them. All of them. All of them. All of them must be fired. Every last Democrat socialist must be thrown out. Okay. But there's another reason that the book is important for you, and I thought about it last night. It lays the entire legal groundwork or framework for impeaching Barack Obama. I don't need the Republicans to ask themselves whether or not he's committed impeachable offenses. By the time you get through reading chapter and verse on the damage, and I believe me, I document it. I'm a scholar by training, a real scholar, not one given a PhD for sending money somewhere. I earned my doctorate, so I'm a scholar by training. And each chapter outlines what he has done, how he has done it. It becomes, in essence, the architectural plan for the impeachment of the President of the United States. And that's why you can play an important role. In a few minutes, when I return, I'm going to take your calls here on the Savage Nation at 855-400-72. 855-400-SAVAGE. I want to make read you a quote from a man who wrote a little note to Abraham Lincoln in 1861. It's a single line. Please bear with me. Thomas Corwin wrote this to Abe Lincoln in 1861. He said, "I cannot comprehend the madness of the times. Treason is in the air around us everywhere. It goes by the name of patriotism." And that, to me, describes exactly what's coming out of the White House. Under the guise of helping the middle class, they're destroying the middle class. Under the guise of doing this, they're doing that. Under the guise of doing that, they're doing this. How can you justify a government that permits Ebola to enter a nation that in which there was never ever Ebola? How is it possible? As I told you yesterday on this program, we had epidemics in this country that were wiped out. There was once a yellow fever epidemic in America. It was annihilated in the southeast. It ranged as far north as the Carolinas. The swamps were cleared. The mosquitoes were killed. We had malaria that was endemic in the United States of America. Did you know that? But it was eliminated, and we became a first world nation. Under Barack Obama, we are rapidly becoming a second world nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
All right, here's breaking news. You know, I have a breaking news story that's not even up on the services that I normally read. Secret Service director to resign. The biggest bully in the history of the Secret Service, who bullied her way to the top by intimidating men with her tough demeanor, Julia Pearson, is resigning in the wake of several security breaches, according to so-called administration officials. Julia Pearson, the director of the Secret Service, who thought she bullied her way through the hearings yesterday, is resigning. And the only better news would be that Obama resigned, because he's done far more damage than she has. Intruder enters the White House. Bullets hit the residence. State dinner crashed. One thing after another. So finally she's going. But don't clap yet. I gave you breaking news here on the Savage Nation, which is, you know, look, I have a drive time show on the East Coast. I do a lot of narrative and a lot of opinion. But let me tell you, when news breaks, we get it first here because my producer, Neil, happens to have a Twitter. I don't know how he gets it. I have no idea. He's always looking at his iPhone. I see him on Skype. And I say, Neil, do your job. What are you looking at the iPhone? We've been arguing for months. He said, that's where I get the breaking news from. People in my Twitter feed. So there's 2 days in a row now. He's giving me news faster than any service in the country. It broke 10 minutes ago. We have it first for you on the Savage Nation. And I'm very happy to tell you that she's resigned. But the better news would be that he'd resign. What she's done is nothing compared to what he's done and what he's going to do. You understand this? You understand where I'm coming from? There have been presidents who resigned, by the way. Nixon resigned. He was forced to resign. Why? We had a legitimate press then. Of course, it was anti-Republican, so it presented itself as legitimate. But now we have fellow travelers. I should say sister travelers. Sorry. The word fellow traveler no longer applies. We have sister travelers in the U.S. media. That no matter what this administration does to this country, it could be the Ebola epidemic, it could be the virus spreading through our school children. It doesn't matter. They'll look the other way. They're useless. They don't work for you. They're not the fifth estate anymore. They're not the fourth estate, rather. They become the fifth column. I'm the one who created that. The press is no longer the fourth estate. They become the fifth column. The greatest thing I ever said, by the way. You like it? You know what it means? I'll explain when I come back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It's clear that our security plan was not properly executed. This is unacceptable, and I take full responsibility, and I will make sure that it does not happen again.
And that's Cody Pearson, the bully, who resigned from the Secret Service. And he's been replaced by Joseph Clancy. So when it comes to protecting himself, at least he knows the right thing to do. Appointed a guy who's right out of the central casting for Big Irish Cop. As interim acting director of Secret Service, I'm appointing Joseph Clancy, formerly special agent in charge of the Presidential Protective Division of the Secret Service, said Jeh Johnson. Whoever, I love Jeh Johnson. He's in Homeland Security. He opened the borders up to the virus. Didn't protect us from the Ebola virus. Jeh Johnson should resign. Put another man in charge there who cares about America. Then maybe I'd have some confidence. But at least when it comes to protecting the president, I feel better. They got rid of a politically correct appointee who was the worst in history and put a man in there who obviously knows what he's doing. Let's hope so anyway. Our hopes go out for that. Obama's immigrant surge threatens to destroy America. Do you agree with that or not? Do you agree that he has graduated to treason? Yes or no? That's my first chapter, Graduating to Treason. I'm not going to read the book. I'm talking about diseases that he's bringing in. The children, the unprecedented number of diseased children that were brought in without a word from a public health official anywhere in the United States of America. But I want to read something to you. And remember this, I earned my doctorate in the field of epidemiology and human nutrition at the University of California at Berkeley. And I know more about this subject than anyone else in broadcasting. And I've been trying to warn America about the dangers of illegal immigration into the United States and the risk of epidemics since the early 1980s, page 11. Only now are Americans finally waking up to the fact that the tens of thousands of illegal immigrants flooding our borders are bringing with them very dangerous infectious diseases, including, and listen carefully, tuberculosis, hand, foot, and mouth disease, H1N1 swine flu, chickenpox, and Chagas disease. A potentially life-threatening condition caused by a parasite found in the feces of another parasite. It's most common in Central American countries, and it had been eradicated in Southern California. These diseases are being brought back into this country by the horde of illegals who are now being processed as they cross the border and are transferred by buses and planes to schools and cities around the United States. Here's the killer. I wrote this, page 11. I want to show you how current the book is. See, most books are out of date by the time they come out. I want you to read, listen to this paragraph. Members of the medical staffs that are trying to take care of the illegals in San Antonio were threatened with arrest if they revealed information about the diseases being brought into the country. But they spoke to reporters on condition of anonymity because they felt that Americans needed to know about the risks to their health posed by this surge of illegal aliens, reference number 15 in Stop the Coming Civil War. That's just one little detail. Now we have Ebola, which kills you, by and large. The survival rate's very low, what, 40%? Obama's immigrant surge threatens to destroy America. How far has it gone? And I describe how far it's gone. But let me skip a few pages on the war on our borders, language, and culture. And I conclude the chapter by saying, will English become America's second language? Did you hear that? And here's what I write. Don't believe there's a war against the English language being waged in this country, don't you? Well, I prove that there is a war. Did you hear this? And I show you how there's a war against English as the first language. And then I remind you that English is the standard language of international communications. Virtually every head of every Western nation speaks English. Every champion of every international athletic tournament I've ever watched, from soccer to tennis to the Olympics, has conducted his or her post-game interview in English, no matter what their native country is. But here in the United States, we're allowing the radical left to dictate which language we're required to speak because politicians are too weak-kneed to make English the official language of the United States. It's the official language of the world, but we're not willing to acknowledge that here. And that's by design. It's possible that this administration's most remembered accomplishment will be the degeneration of our language and communications. Nothing less than the very preservation of our borders, language, and culture is at stake right now. What makes us Americans is being taken from us. The survival of our beloved country has entered its most critical stage. Listen to me carefully. Right now, Stop the Coming Civil War is like number one or number two on the Barnes & Noble list because they're selling it at 50% off. They're giving it away, really. When it comes out next Tuesday, I need to drive it to number one for one reason only. I need a message sent to the Democrats, to the Republicans, and to other voters that there's something going on in here beyond sports and entertainment. And the only way to do it is to communicate with you and America. I do it through the show every day. I do it through my writings. This is my last chance to save us from President Ebola. And I call him President Ebola, not to be facetious or a wise guy. He is President Ebola. He could have prevented Ebola from entering this nation, but he wouldn't do so. He wouldn't do so because the far left agenda is to have an open borders policy. He broke our borders with Mexico. Take a look at the results. Now he has said, despite all commonsensical indications, we cannot induce quarantine on any travelers from Africa. We're not going to stop them from coming from Africa. Do you remember when he lied? Excuse me, when the head of the CDC lied about a month ago or two, when the Ebola epidemic was breaking out in Africa, 2 months ago, whatever it was. Remember how they lied to us? The same liars with the perfect ties, the boys who learned how to make perfect Windsor knots and cross their legs and shake their heads and move up the pogo stick of political correctness, like Dr. Friedkin, in my opinion. Nothing but a pogo stick jumper. Useless. Worthless. Their job is to prevent illness from spreading, not to BS the public. Shame on them! Remember what they said to us? Don't worry. We have trained CDC doctors we're sending to Africa who will be at the airports, and they'll tell us clearly if they see anyone who has any symptoms, they're going to prevent them from leaving the country. And what these clowns didn't tell us is that people can travel when they're asymptomatic of Ebola. 72 hours, you show no symptoms. So in other words, they were lying to us. It was a Trojan horse from day one. It was a Trojan horse from the get-go. The only solution would have been zero travel, in and out of that area. Zero travel to and from Western Africa for any American. Zero travel in and out of this country for anyone who's been to Western Africa. End of story. You want to protect the population? That's what I would have done if I was the head of the CDC. Or if I were president, I would have thrown the borders shut. I would have clamped the borders shut. Over! The first rule of an administration is to protect the people, not to protect their own administration. Do I have to finish the paragraph? No, I don't. He is President Obola. He is President Obola. The only thing he did right in his entire life as a president is to fire the head of the Secret Service and replace her with a white male, Joseph Clancy, because he knows his own life was at risk. When it comes to his own safety, thank God he has sense. Thank God he has the sense to protect himself, finally. I realize that. I was afraid he was going to point to yet another politically correct loser in the Secret Service. But don't count your chickens and say, oh, great, she's left. My only fear is she'll go to the University of California to work with Janet Napolitano. That's my, take and ruin the university at a double pace. Maybe we needed a third one over there. They could run a quinoa around the university. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. This is the Savage Nation. Do you fear the Ebola outbreak in America, or do you think the government has it under control? Let's go to Texas, to Dallas, where the illness has been permitted to enter because of Obama's open borders policy and because of the political nature of the CDC. Jeremy on WBAP in Dallas, go ahead, please. You've got the floor.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to tell you an observation that I've had just today alone from being in this area, is I've witnessed a tremendous amount of what I'm calling sort of anti-panic, and it falls just in lockstep motion with this administration's sort of pursuit of all things fair. But every time I'm seeing somebody raise a legitimate concern about Ebola and its spread, I'm seeing a huge knee-jerk reaction from the left of sort of anti-panic. How dare you overreact?
Hold on. Forget the left. We know who they are. They're psychotic. I'm sorry to tell you, Rick Perry has lost my support. He's doing the exact same thing. He is now supporting the same anti-panic modality. Listen to clip 24 right now. This is Rick Perry on Ebola. Listen carefully.
This case is serious. Rest assured that our system is working as it should. Professionals on every level of the chain of command know what to do.
Okay, there he goes. No difference than the head of the CDC or Obama. Finished. Unelectable. He just failed us. I didn't say he should panic the population. I didn't say he caused panic in the streets. But I would say that caution is not panic. I would say a reasonable concern is not panic. But to hear him tell us that everything's under control when we know it isn't, when we find out that this patient zero came in here and has been exposed children to it, we don't even know where the man traveled. They won't even tell us who he is. Did you hear that? Are you listening to what I'm saying to you? Your government is so corrupt that they won't even tell you who the school children are that he contacted. Second possible Ebola case in Dallas, at least 12 thought to be exposed. Here's the Drudge Report. Told officials on initial visit he was from Liberia and then sent home. Instead of immediately quarantining him, he went into the Dallas hospital. He told the fools in the hospital he was from Liberia. And the hospital sent him home. Instead of immediately putting him into quarantine, he went home. Oh, we have a name of him now? Thomas Eric Duncan went to a Dallas emergency room Friday and explained that he was visiting the U.S. from Liberia. He was sent home with antibiotics, according to his sister, May Wuru. He returned 2 days later after his condition worsened and was admitted to Texas Health Presbyterian. A nurse had asked Duncan whether he had been in any part of West Africa where Ebola has killed thousands, but, quote, that information was not fully communicated throughout the whole team. And the day after the man's diagnosis was confirmed, a 9-member team of federal health officials, that's a laugh, was tracking anyone who had close contact with him. The team from the Centers for Disease Dissemination was in Dallas to work with local and state health agencies, in my opinion, not to ensure that those people are watched every day for 21 days, but to shut everyone up who will tell anyone what to do to protect themselves. Dr. Tom Freakin, the CDD director, said in an interview, quote, If anyone develops fever, we'll immediately isolate them to stop the chain of transmission. Hey, Tom, you should have done that in Africa. Mr. Duncan has been kept in isolation at the hospital since Sunday. 6,500 people in West Africa have been sick and 3,000 have died. The worst epidemic, the worst outbreak in history. Now people are monitoring 12 to 18 people who may have been exposed to the man, including three members of the ambulance crew that transported him to the hospital and five school children. Now, where did he come in contact with five school children? We read that some of the people that Ebola patient zero, some of the people are members of his family, but not all. Where did he contact five school children? How? Here it goes. The children who attend four separate schools had contact with the man over the weekend and then returned to classes this week. Oh, so you mean they now contacted others. I see. So we don't know whether other kids, God forbid, are going to have symptoms soon. The man, left Liberia on September 19th, arrived the next day to visit relatives and started feeling ill 4 or 5 days later, Freakin said. Stanley Gay, president of the Liberian Community Association of... Oh, he's got a pressure group already. Are you listening to this? Stanley Gay, president of the Liberian... How come everyone has a community association except people who want to protect America's borders, language, and culture? What's the Liberian Community Association of Dallas-Fort Worth? Where is our representation? Stanley Gay, president of the Liberian Community Association of Dallas-Fort Worth, said the 10,000-strong Liberian population in North Texas is skeptical of the CDC's assurances because Ebola has ravaged their country. He said, we've been telling people to try to stay away from social gatherings, Gay said. The CDC has not advised that people avoid large gatherings in this country. That's a joke. The association's vice president said, let's not be alarmed. We don't want to get a panic going. We embrace those people who are coming forward. Don't let the stigma keep you from getting tested. My God, what a sick nation. What a sick nation. Everything is so twisted that common sense doesn't even exist. These people don't even know what common sense would dictate. Quarantine is the proper word. It starts with a Q and it ends with an E. It's a word that has been whited out from the Obama dictionary. Quarantine. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUICOIN.
This case is serious. Rest assured that our system is working as it should. Professionals on every level of the chain of command know what to do.
Another. There's Rick Perry, who has just completely put an X through his presidential aspirations, in my opinion. He sounds just like the president or the head of the CDC who has failed us. He's covering it up. Our system is working as it should. It sounds like the head of the Secret Service, and he'll make sure it doesn't happen again. The man traveled from his home in the Liberian capital of Monrovia to Brussels and then to Dallas. Okay? Dr. Freakin says, Ebola doesn't spread before someone gets sick. And he didn't get sick until 4 days after he got off the plane. Very good, Tom. You've covered your butt. That's the first rule of a bureaucrat like you. You know the rules of epidemiology. I certainly know them. You isolate and you quarantine an entire nation if necessary. A sane nation doesn't let people with a killer disease into a country. You say, well, he didn't have the disease. He's showing no symptoms. Fine. Good. Let no one in from the country. You let nobody in from a country where there's a raging epidemic if you have a sane nation with sane leaders who are not out to kill everybody or so corrupt that they could care less, figuring they're immune from it. But let me tell you something. And I'll say it over and over again until you finally understand it. Microbes do not discriminate. I wrote that many years ago. Microbes do not discriminate. And right now, the high and mighty may think that they're above it all and that cannot touch them. Let's pray to God they're right. But I have a little story to tell you. from the history of epidemiology. Microbes do not discriminate. They don't care what your race is. They don't care what your politics are. They'll go for your throat. Microbes do not discriminate.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
We're talking about President Ebola and the spread of the Ebola epidemic. When I say the spread, because it's now here, and the second there's a second patient that is being appraised. Moreover, the Ebola patient, by the way, you got to understand something. This country never had an Ebola case in its entire history. It could have been limited to Africa by turning off all travel from anyone in those countries until the epidemic burned itself out. You say it's impractical. Well, is it practical to permit, shall I say, to risk the spread of a killer illness? Is that practical? All of the rules of epidemiology dictate the following. The first thing you do is you isolate the area in which an epidemic begins. You quarantine the area. You certainly don't let patients from that area travel to other areas. You go back to the history of epidemiology. I think it was Edward Jenner, who was interested in the smallpox epidemic. No one even knew why it was spreading or how it was spreading. Well, he found out how it was spreading way back in the 1700s. And they isolated the source. They closed down the well. I believe that was the source of the epidemic at that time. I don't remember all the details. We know where the well of disease is coming from. It's coming out of West Africa. But because Obama is so given towards things African and so anxious to prove that Africa is this, Africa is that, Africa is this, Africa that, he won't even impose the first order of safety for his own people. So now we have at least one case of Ebola in Texas, if not more brewing. And let's hope they're not, but common sense would say there are more brewing. The patient had contact with school-aged children. There's a second possible case in Dallas. And all we're hearing are platitudes from the politicians and the medical politicians. The MPH used to have a meaning. It used to be an MD got an MPH and then went on to a job in a school of public health. But take the acronym of MPH and change it if you want. Medical politician hack. That's what an MPH is today. If you don't toe the left-wing liberal shibboleths, if you don't espew the shibboleths of the left-wing, your MPH is worthless. And that's where we are today. We have no protection. It's each man, each woman, each child for himself in this country. I'm sorry. They're not going to protect you. They couldn't even protect the president from an invader who jumped the fence. They're going to protect you from a person coming in with Ebola? Then why did Obama bring trainloads of infected children into America without caring about the consequences? How long was I warning you? It was inevitable that kids would get sick. Now one of them died. So we have Steve Wynn, one of the great American success stories, saying, I'm more scared about the USA than China. He said, we elected a man as president who had no experience at anything, that he's stunned at the immaturity of this administration and how they punish everyone. That says it all. It's as simple as that. It's time for Obama to resign, but you know he has no conscience. He would never resign. He doesn't even have the decency of Nixon. Should Obama resign? What has Obama done that he should resign? I can name at least five things. Chapter 1, graduating to treason. And here's a question I ask in Stop the Coming Civil War. My question is this. Will the Obama inner circle of extremist left-wing radicals trigger an event that will provoke an American insurrection, even a civil war? Is this concern of mine to be dismissed as a right-wing conspiracy? Let me explain to you what is happening, and then I explain what is happening and what they're doing. I'm explaining what is being done by Eric Holder. And I say three events in the early summer of 2014 make very clear what this government's positions are. The release of five radical Islamist leaders from Guantanamo Bay prison in exchange for the return of an American soldier who deserted his post and may have aided and abetted the enemy in Afghanistan. Page 5. Inviting hundreds of thousands of Central American children and young adults, some of them known gang members, with distinguishing gang tattoos, to enter the United States illegally and then providing food and shelter for them before sending them off to so-called friends and relatives in other U.S. cities. The intentional refusal to provide critical medical treatment for injured and ill American servicemen through the Veteran Affairs Medical System. The refusal by Obama to negotiate the release of the American Marine trapped in the corrupt Mexican prison system when he intervened on behalf of Taliban. Can you believe this? Can you believe this? According to Secretary of Defense, that's a laugh, Chuck Hagel, the President of the United States approved the transfer of five of the most dangerous long-term Gitmo inmates to the country of Qatar in exchange for Bo Bergdahl, an American soldier who was described by some of his fellow soldiers, as many as six of them were killed attempting to find and rescue Bergdahl after he left his post as a deserter. I go on and on. It's all there. Now, why do you need to know these things? Why do you need to have a record of these things? Because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Coming up to the election, which is only really only a month or so away when you think about it, October 1st now. My God, it's a month away. About a month, five, 6 weeks. You have a chance to save America by electing, I would say by electing Republicans, by firing every Democrat, socialist, Islamist. Everyone that's up for election, you fire them. I don't care if a guy who works in a car wash, who's a citizen, is running against them on another ticket. You elect the man in the car wash, then you're sitting congressman. You throw them out. That will send a message, believe me, that something's going on in America. That's the first thing you've got to do. But in order to do it, it can't just be you. You have relatives, you have friends, you have coworkers who think you're a nut. I know that. You're alone, you're there, you don't even want to talk about your politics at work or at home because they call you a crazy person. No one believes anything you say. It's why I wrote the book. It's why I want you to have a copy of this important document. You say, well, what good is it? They're not going to read it. No, you're going to read it. You're going to make statements, and then you're going to go to the back of the book where there are 35, 40 pages of notes with references for every chapter. So if I say to you that he did this or he did that, you look in the back and you say, well, here's the reference. Now, let's say you show a reference. Reference 11. Kellen Howell, border agent laments gang members entering U.S. Washington Times, June 14th, with the exact page number. Reference 12, rampant sex at illegal alien child shelters. We have the reference to that. So then you show this to your neighbor. They say you're crazy, you made it up, you're a right-wing nut. And you say, but wait a minute, would you at least look at the reference? And you show them the reference. If your neighbor says, I don't care what the references say, I don't care, I still like Obama, then walk out of the room and let me tell you something else. Don't ever talk to them again. I don't care how nice they are. I don't care if you think you need them. You're finding out that they're hopeless. They're not low-information voters, as Rush calls them. These are no-information voters. They're ignoramuses. They're ignoramuses that can't be reached. You know, it's been said that hell is a place where there is no reason. If you have a friend or a relative who will not reason with you, who will not look at facts, then you're living in hell with them. What do you need them for? What do you need them for? What's the point of eating a meal with them? How can you eat a hamburger around them without gagging on the food? I didn't say they have to agree with everything you say, nor believe everything you say. All I said is they have to reason with you. And you need the information. You need the facts. You need the references to reason with them. That's what it's all about. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? 855-400-7282 is the phone number. Let me take some calls on the Savage Nation. WABC, Henry, you're the first caller today, actually the first caller of this hour. What's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Michael, after the break, you nailed it. You're absolutely right. Martial law is their intent. May I take it to another level other than the mortal dirt?
The mortal what?
The mortal... what I'm talking about is I want to take it to a spiritual level of what actually is happening here to this country. The destruction of America is necessary for the implementation of the one world government prophesied in the book of Revelation. And the ruling elite, such as David Rockefeller, have espoused that this is their goal for humanity. the one world religion prophecy in the book of Revelation is obviously Islam. It is the only so-called religion that actually uses decapitation as a means of terrorizing people into submission.
Hold on. Now you're losing me now. So far, David Rockefeller wants beheadings?
No. David Rockefeller, in an interview, talked about a one-world religion being the ultimate goal for humanity. He thinks.
All right, but he didn't say Islam is the one-world religion, did he?
No. He mentioned nothing about Islam.
Yeah, but who listens to David Rockefeller? He's an inheritance case. Well, what does he have? How does he really matter? Who is he? His great-grandfather made money, so what? So it makes him a genius?
Rockefellers are one of the families that own the Federal Reserve Corporation.
I understand that. I understand where you're coming from. But what is your main point?
My main point is that what we are witnessing is the unfolding of the Book of Revelation, the necessary destruction of America, which interferes with the one world government.
Let me give you my revelation. I don't care what the Book of Revelation says. I'll give you my revelation. Fire every Democrat, socialist, Islamist, and let's see if we can stop this slide into hell. How's that? That's Michael Savage's revelation. Throw out every one of them. I don't care if they're a moderate Democrat, socialist, Islamist. Throw them out. That's my revelation. Get rid of them. We have one chance to do it. And it can be done legally, and it can be done peacefully, and it can be done at the ballot box. Try that. It's all we've got left. Thank you for the call. That's the Savage Book of Revelation. Fire the Democrat socialist Islamists who have destroyed this country. And now they brought Ebola to America. Now they brought a killer virus from Central America, all in the name of the children. Everything about the children. What, are they infecting our children in the name of the children? And there are no consequences. The only one who resigned is the head of the Secret Service because the president's life was at stake. At least he knows how to protect himself. I got to give him credit for that. Now I know he's not crazy. We were asking the question, is he nuts or is he doing this on purpose? Well, at least we've eliminated the first question. He knows well enough to get rid of the woman PC appointee who failed him and put in an old Irish cop who can protect him. It's that simple. I'm sorry to be so blunt and to the point. I got no time left to think about clever words to get across here in a two-second show. The show is 2 seconds long. You know how long a radio show is? 2 seconds to say everything. Because it's a series of two-second sound bites. 2, 3, 4, 5 seconds. That's all I have. I think in shorthand. I think in smoke signals. I speak in shorthand. I speak in smoke signals. That's what I send out to America every day for 20 straight years. That's what I've tried to do on the radio. It's what I've tried to do in my books. It's what I try to do in my writings. I don't know if we're going to save the country. I don't know. There are so many millions of illegal aliens in this country who will vote because Obama and Holder have destroyed the voter ID laws in order to permit them to vote that I don't know if our vote even counts anymore. I have no idea whether Holder has destroyed the legitimacy of our ballot boxes. How do you like that? All I can do is be a champion for America's borders, language, and culture. All I can do is call him as I see him. All I can do is give you the plain truth right here on the Savage Nation. I ask you this question. Now that Ebola has entered America, which, you know, it's heartbreaking. It's so heartbreaking because this country has been spared so many horrors because of its geographic isolation. We were not infected with diseases from South America because of this isthmus. We were not infected by diseases from Africa because of the long distances across the ocean. We were rarely infected by diseases from Asia because of the isolation from these regions that had hygienic problems and other things that permitted illnesses to proliferate. And now that's all changed. It's all changed because of political insanity. These patients should have been isolated, even asymptomatic patients. Say, well, they weren't symptomatic. They weren't patients. Then go back to my first rule. You should have closed down all travel out of West Africa to anywhere in the world. Every nation on earth should have put up barriers that said, nobody travels in, nobody travels out. We have to protect our people first. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO-I-N. It is the a savage nation. You want to lighten up a bit? Go ahead, lighten up a bit, because I can't. How's that? Yeah, lighten up. Oh, lighten up, Mike. Tell us a story. Give us a meatball recipe. Tell us a jazz poem. Lighten up, Mike. There's no Ebola. There's no viral illness putting children into hospitals. There's no troops being sent into the Ebola zone. ISIS is on the run, Mike. Lighten up, Mike. Josh in North Carolina on WNFC Radio. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. I was calling to touch on a point that you had said just shortly before about your new book coming out. When I had read Trickle Up Poverty and Trickle Down Tyranny, both amazing books, by the way, I went to my grandmother, who was a dyed-in-the-wool liberal, and showed her the books and said, look, this is the man you voted for twice, and this is what he's doing. And I showed her the different references in the back of the book, excuse me, and she told me I was full of it. And since that day, I haven't...
Maybe she's a bad grandma. I don't mean to insult you, but maybe that's Martin Scorsese's next movie called Bad Grandma.
Well, she's from New York. That's the way she was raised.
What, you mean what raised? To be closed-minded?
Absolutely.
She knows it all. She knows everything. Is that it?
Yes, sir.
I'm not telling you to hate her, but you know who she is. Her mind is closed. What can you do with a person like that? Don't confuse me with the facts my mind is made up. Is that it?
From what I understand, yes, sir. You can't do anything. I was raised to believe that you think with your mind and not with your feelings.
Well, ask her some simple questions, like how do you feel about him firing all the top generals after Benghazi? Do you think that was the right thing to do? Make the question simple. They're all in Stop the Coming Civil War, Josh, which I'm going to send you a free copy of. I have about 30 left until the book comes out next Tuesday. It's now number 2 on BarnesandNoble.com, by the way. I need to drive it back up to number 1 before it comes out, and then I need you to go in there like an army and clean out the shelves. But listen to this. Tell me if you disagree with what I'm writing here. Page 43. Marxist culture is built on the inherent distrust of strong males. The cultural Marxists base their hatred of men and their suppression of maleness on the fact that they see patriarchal societies and culture as the enemies of the state. Male-dominated capitalism equals oppression to Marxists, or so they say. They beat this drum to rally those who feel oppressed. A virile, successful man is cast as the enemy. The left's agenda can succeed only if the male population is neutralized and disempowered, reference 21. Part of this administration's war against American males is carried out through what I see as a decimation of the military, which I'll talk about in the next chapter. For now, let me talk about another aspect of this conflict. No one in the world, nobody has said what I just said the way I've said it. This is not a book of, let us say, derivations from others. I write the originals. They derive from me. Go back 20 years and see. See who wrote about Marxism 20 years ago. They didn't know Karl Marx from Groucho.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Attention, Portland residents.
Seattle citizens of San Diego.
Residents of Atlanta.
Denver residents of Detroit.
Attention, Dallas residents.
In a remote African jungle, a small monkey is captured. The animal carries a deadly virus.
Back to President Ebola's America. And I have a question for those of you Pollyannas out there who say that everything's under control. I believe Friedkin. I don't believe you. I believe the government is in charge and control and they'll protect us. If you had an emergency... And you had a choice to go to the emergency room of a hospital in which there was currently a patient with Ebola in isolation, or another hospital where there was no such patient. Which hospital would you choose? Now, if you say to me, I would choose the hospital with the patient, then you have no common sense. Because common sense would dictate you should choose the hospital that has no such patient. But if you're doing it just to make a point, it shows you have no common sense. You can't be reasoned with. So kindly don't listen to the show. I suggest you listen to NPR, which is government programming. Or, if you need a good laugh at night, you can listen to one of the government jesters. You could listen to Bill Maher, government jester. Colbert, government jester. Or the other one whose name I can never remember, the government jester. They're all government jesters. They have laugh lines, laugh tracks, laugh audiences. and they're made to mock common sense. But if you'd like to think, and if you'd like to use common sense and be a free thinker, listen to the Savage Nation. Here, I'll read something to you. A listener sent it to me this morning. The CDC says transmission of Ebola can occur, quote, through contact with objects such as needles that have been contaminated with infected secretions, close quote. But the World Health Organization says Ebola can be transmitted by, quote, surfaces and materials, bedding, clothing contaminated with infected bodily fluids. So the CDC says one thing and the WHO says something else. The CDC says only needles are the mode of transmission, while WHO says it could be any object. There's also evidence, by the way, that Ebola can be spread through the air. You say, oh, come on, that's not me. Well, excuse me. Let's use common sense again. A person with Ebola coughs. The droplets go into the air. The droplets hit a table. You touch the table. That's airborne transmission. What do I need them to explain to me what that means? You mean you've lost common sense? You mean your ancestors were smarter than you? How do you think your ancestors avoided illnesses through the centuries? Common sense. Let's go back to the Bible. Let's go back to the days of Moses when the Israelites were in the desert. They had very strict health rules because they had no hospitals, no isolation tents, no antibiotics. They didn't even know the disease. They didn't even know the germ theory of disease. Today, Friedkin doesn't even know the germ theory of disease. I would say the head of most public health departments have forgotten Louis Pasteur's work. They don't even know the germ theory of disease. They put politics out of everything. But in the desert, the ancient Israelites were a small band. The leader had to figure out how to keep them healthy. So they had rules in the encampments for maintaining health. Very strict rules, by the way. As Lenny Bruce said, you don't blank and eat in the same place. But we'll put that aside. That would be the first rule that a sane tribe would follow. Lenny Bruce said, you don't blank and eat in the same place. And he was right. But if you look into Leviticus, there were rules. Today we laugh at these rules. We're smarter than Leviticus. But if you look at Leviticus, there are many rules, and it's all about health. And most of it is about what to eat, what not to eat. And I've done that mockingly in some regard, but not really so mockingly last week. Rules about who you can sleep with and who you can't sleep with. It was not to punish anyone for moral reasons. It was considered to be a problem from the point of view of potential health problems, by the way, and also to make sure the tribe proliferated in numbers. And then you go into other areas of Leviticus. It says you shouldn't sleep with a beast. I wonder why. I wonder why they would tell you not to sleep with a beast. What, were they just restricted in their vision of a man's pleasure? They said don't sleep with a beast. Why? Why do you think the ancients said you don't go with a donkey? I mean, what was that about? But let's get more down to the earth here. There are whole pages in Leviticus about epidemics, which is why the Jews have made good doctors ever since ancient times. It was inherent in the people and in their holy book. And it was about looking at certain illnesses and seeing what the what was coming out of the body in terms of if it was white and it was this and it was that, then it meant it was leprosy. It was all about the plague of leprosy. That's what they were afraid of more than anything else. The ancient Jews were afraid of leprosy. And they had rules about it. And when a man or woman hath the plague upon the head or upon the beard, then the priest shall look on the plague. And behold, if the appearance thereof be deeper than the skin, and there be in it yellow, thin hair, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a scall. It is leprosy of the head or of the beard. And if the priest look on the plague of the scall, and behold, the appearance thereof be not deeper than the skin, and there be no black hair in it, then the priest shall shut up him that hath the plague of the scall 7 days. And in the seventh day, the priest shall look on the plague, and behold, if the scall be not spread, and there be in it no yellow hair, and the appearance of the scall be not deeper than the skin, then he shall be shaven. But the scall shall he not shave, and the priest shall shut up him that hath the scall 7 days more. And in the seventh day, the priest shall look on the scall, and behold, if the scall be not spread in the skin, and the appearance thereof be not deeper than the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scall spread abroad in the skin after his cleansing, Then the priest shall look on him, and behold, if the scab be spread in the skin, the priest shall not seek for the yellow hair, he is unclean. And they go on. It's much more detailed than that. In other words, the ancient Israelites, the ancient Jews, were very deeply into differential diagnosis. In biblical times, they weren't just quick to judge a person and say, oh boy, look at that, he has a little this, throw him out of the village. Throw him out of the tribe, rather. They were very careful in their differential diagnosis. They went on and on. And those who had leprosy, they were called lepers. And what they did was they burnt his clothes and they shaved his head, and he was sent out of the village to say, unclean, unclean. And all the days wherein the plague is in him, he shall be unclean. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his dwelling be. That's the beginning of epidemiology. Right there. Common sense. You want to protect the healthy. You don't say, oh, what about the feelings of the leper? Oh, how will the leper feel if you toss him out of the village? It's okay if 30% of us get wiped out, because we don't want the leper to have bad feelings. So now we have a world that's upside down. Everything is topsy-turvy. Now you put the person who has a plague and his feelings and his concerns ahead of those who have no plague. That's why I call him President Ebola. It's a world turned upside down, but that's only one example. If it was only this, we could live with it. But it isn't this. It's everything from the Secret Service to the military to the post office. Nothing works. The government has turned everything on its head. Everything is not working. There's nothing that works in this country anymore. The phone number is 855-407-282. If you care to talk about this or any other topics, you know the number. I don't know if I want to go on and on about Ebola, frankly. I think I'll give you a little break with a jazz poem. Can we have the jazz music set to music, and I'll read From Eisenhower to Obama in Two Generations? Just play the jazz for my good friend, the young guy who does the jazz saxophone. And we'll play it as I read a poem to you that I wrote. It says, 5:40 p.m., April 6th, over Wichita Falls in a Challenger 343,000 feet. Sometimes when I had a few drinks in an airplane, I start to write poetry. I wonder why that is. Two little bottles of vodka and 43,000 feet do wonders for my poetic spirit. If only I could do it at the sea level, that would be nice. But lately, I can't get off the earth. N'importe où dehors du monde. You got the music already? I'll die here. I'm looking for it. Stop flipping it. All right, but it's I need the music, or I don't need the music. Who do you blame for the Ebola outbreak in America? President Ebola himself, or who? Do you blame him for not quarantining the patients in Africa, for letting them come in, for sending 3,000 troops to Africa? What sense does that make? Does that make sense to send 3,000 people, American military, to Africa to build hospitals and such and clinics in such a time like this? Child dies from mystery virus. That was brought in from Central America, sure as I'm sitting here. Still no music? I never saw anything like this. I'll just start reading the poem when you find it, whenever you get around to it. Imagine jazz music playing behind me. From Eisenhower to Obama in Two Generations. From Ben Casey to Nurse Jackie in Two Generations. From Mutual Assured Destruction to Assured National Destruction in Two Generations. From Evan Rude to Always Rude in Two Generations. From John Wayne to Lady Gaga in Two Generations. From Frank Sinatra to Sin and Gotcha in Two Generations. From I Spy to I Cry in Two Generations. From I Love Lucy to I Love Loosely in Two Generations. From Al Einstein to Al Gore in Two Generations. From I Have a Dream to I Have a Scheme in Two Generations. From Catcher in the Rye to Ketchup on the Fly in Two Generations. From starlets to harlots, from preachers to breachers, from athletes to sexleets, from rabbis to sandflies, from Boy Scouts to Toy Scouts, from Girl Scouts to Twirl Scouts, from the Eagle to the Beagle, from LSD to ADD in Two Generations, from cardigans to partykins, from Cub Scouts to Scouting Cubs in Two Generations, from aspirin to OxyContin in one generation. From Lady Jane to Let's Get Insane in one generation. From Law to Claw in one generation. From Zip Guns to Machine Guns in one generation. From Red Book to Spread Books in two generations. From Acorn to Free the... What is this? I can't read that one. from babies to puppies, from guppies to yuppies, from gift wrapping to meat packing, from private vets to private jets, from soldiers who kill to soldiers without will, from lassie to sassy, from religion to pigeons, from eons to peons, from reading and writing to texting and pesting, from rapists to offenders, from stickball to speedballs, from Gallo to Lafitte, that's a good one in one generation, from Matus to Chartreuse, from Milltown to Prozac in one generation, from the Air Force to a Bear Force, from the Navy to Loose Gravy, from the Army to I'm Swami, from Israel to Fizrael, from Taiwan to Spieswan, from the Dragon to the Eagle, from the Dragon and the Eagle to the Dragon and the Beagle, from Dragsters to Drag Queens, from Redwoods to Deadwoods, from Health Foods to Wealth Foods, from Heroes to Zeros, from UFOs to IOUs, from Hirsute to Lawsuit, from Melarolls to Melanine, from Niagara to Viagra, from Coney Island to Survival Island, from the Five Families to the Sly Families, from Al Capone to Sly Stallone, from Ike to Spikes, from Truman to the Untrue Man, from Reagan to Swayman, from Rayburn to Pelosi, from the Eagle to the Beagle, from the Bible to the Legal. That's the story of America the Great to America the Greats. To America that Greats. I'm Michael Savage. That's just some playing with words here. I started to add some to it over the years. I don't know how many years ago I wrote that. And it goes like this. From One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest to One Flew Over the Cuckold's Nest. If it still makes me laugh, it's good stuff, right? From One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest to One Flew Over the Cuckold's Nest in two generations. From Love and Marriage to Bugs and Disparage in one generation. From Fishnets to the Internet. From Female to Email. From Fatherhood to Don't Bother the Hood. That's pretty good. I hope you've enjoyed my jazz poem here. Sam Gendel is the sax player. Great young man. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Here's another one. From Hope and Change to Dope and Needle Exchange in one generation. That's a good one. Hope and Change to Dope and Needle Exchange. So it proves that the left is bankrupt. We knew it from the beginning. I warned you from the beginning. Many of you didn't believe me. You said you're crazy. Yeah, Al-Qaeda's on the run. It's the JV team. Don't worry, we have Ebola contained. Don't worry, the Secret Service is doing a fabulous job in protecting the president. Bullets are flying. People are riding in elevators with guns. Marxist culture is built on the inherent distrust of strong males, I write on page 43. The cultural Marxists base their hatred of men and their suppression of maleness on the fact that they see patriarchal societies and culture as the enemies of the state. Male-dominated capitalism equals oppression to Marxists, or so they say. They beat this drum to rally those who feel oppressed. A virile, successful man is cast as the enemy. The left's agenda can succeed only if the male population is neutralized and disempowered. Page 43 of, guess what? Stop the Coming Civil War. You know that you've been targeted by this administration. Is there a white American heterosexual Christian male who doesn't feel targeted by this administration? Raise your hand. I'm sorry to ask such a blunt question. Is there a white heterosexual Christian male who does not feel that you don't have a target painted on your back by Obama and Holder and the four horsewomen of the apocalypse at every turn in your life? Well, I do. I know everyone that I know does. I really do, including rich men, by the way, wealthy men. They feel that they have to walk around with their heads down. because of the left-wing feudalism that's emerging in this country. Notice I didn't say fascism. The left wing has a sort of feudalism operational in this country. They would like to turn heterosexual Christian white males into serfs, because you know you're the only oppressed population in this country, in the sense that you're the only population that can be targeted by virtually everyone else in this country. Am I right or wrong? Tell me I'm wrong, and I'll argue with you and prove you're right. Will I? You can't prove you're right, so why should I? Because you know I'm right, and you know you're wrong. It's the Savage Nation, whatever.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
We'll have the latest information for you on the infected Ebola patient. We now know his name. His name is Thomas Eric Duncan. We now know that he flew from Liberia on three legs of the journey from Liberia to Dallas. Thomas Eric Duncan flew through Brussels to get to Dallas-Fort Worth, and they're investigating who he might have been in contact with. And they're saying that you should be concerned but not overly excited. Don't worry. Trust the government. They'll protect you. Trust Thomas Friedkin. Trust Barack Obama. They'll help you. They're out to protect you. Listen to this absurd line. The CDC is working with U.S. Customs and Border Protection. Isn't that a joke? I mean, that's an acronym that makes no sense anymore. Under Jeb Johnson, there's such a thing as border protection? There's no border protection. So how can they be working with U.S. Customs and Border Protection when Obama destroyed the border? To identify potential victims? You hear? And warn other travelers. They're victims now. They're the victims, not the people who might get it from them. They're the victims. The other travelers are the health threat. But the one with the Ebola is now the victim. And if you're another traveler, you're the other traveler. Now, it gets even stupider. CBP personnel received training in illness recognition, said agency spokesmouth Jennifer Ivanitsky, another political hack. She said if they identify someone believed to be infected, they will seek medical evaluation from CDC and local health officials. Mm-hmm. It gets even more. This should really make you feel even better. Customs and border personnel also will hand out flyers in airports encouraging people to watch their health for 21 days. Now, let me ask you something. If you're a person in Liberia and you know you've contacted Ebola, but you're not yet showing symptoms, wouldn't you hop the first plane to America where you're going to get free treatment? No, you know, you'd stay in Liberia and die in a mud hut? Tell me what you would do. If you're in Liberia, I don't care what level of income you're at, you have to be middle class or so, businessman, and you know you've come in contact with someone with Ebola, say, oh my God, I'm going to get it. Where would you go? You'd worry about the safety of Americans, right? Oh no, I won't go to, I'm not going to go to Dallas. I'm not going to fly through Frankfurt because I don't want to infect anyone on a plane. I'm a good Samaritan. That's not how the world works right now. So the government, instead of stopping travelers from that area, they do nothing. They tell you, are people watching for them? Are they crazy? Hand out flyers encouraging people to watch their health? Are you kidding? They're watching the health. They're going to fly right here and get free treatment. So who is Thomas Eric Duncan, the poor man, the victim of Ebola? He is a victim. But I'm more concerned about the non-victim so far. U.S. patient aided pregnant Liberian, then took ill. Thomas Eric Duncan. Is he a Christian missionary? That's what I was suspecting. Mr. Duncan, the first person to develop symptoms outside Africa during the current, had direct contact with a woman stricken by Ebola just 4 days before he left Liberia for the United States, the woman's parents and Mr. Duncan's neighbor said. So they're not saying who he is. Mr. Duncan, who was a family friend and also a tenant in a house owned by the Williams family, rode in the taxi in the front passenger seat while Ms. Williams, her father and her brother, Sonny Boy, shared the back seat, her parents said. Mr. Duncan then helped carry Ms. Williams, who was no longer able to walk, back to the family home that evening, neighbors said. Now Sonny Boy is sick. And in a sign of how furiously Ebola can spread, an ambulance had come to their house on Wednesday to pick up Sonny Boy. Another ambulance picked up a woman and a daughter from the same area, and a team of body collectors came to retrieve the body of yet another woman. All four appeared to have been infected in a chain reaction started by Martha Lean Williams. A few minutes after the ambulance left, the parents got a call telling that Sonny Boy had died on the way to the hospital. Mr. Duncan, he's the guy in the hospital in Texas, had lived in a neighborhood called 72nd and SKD Boulevard for the past 2 years, living by himself in a small room that he rented from the Williams couple. He told him that his son lived in the U.S., played baseball, and was trying to get him to come to America. For the past year, Mr. Duncan had worked as a driver at Safeway Cargo, the Liberian customs clearance agent for FedEx. Okay, so you got the picture. He's not an American citizen. He's not a citizen at all. And he knew he probably had the illness, and he came here immediately for treatment. Next case. But because we have open borders, he was able to get right into a hospital. Next, get moving along. You're perfectly safe. Yeah. Rest assured that our system is working as it should. Professionals on every level of the chain of command know what to do. Move along. Nothing to see here. Move it along. There's no place in the world that has better professionals and abilities to address that than Texas. Move it along. Nothing to see here. Keep it moving. Move it along. Keep moving it along. Don't worry about Sonny Boy. Keep moving it along. Leave it in the hands of the government. Yeah, leave it in the hands of the government media complex. So the man apparently quit abruptly. And what did he do, Neil? He quit his job abruptly for no reason? Well, he must have been sick and he wanted to get this first flight to Texas. He has relatives there. He go right into the ER room. They can't ask his country of origin. That would be racist. It's racist for an ER room to ask where you're from. That's all. So where would you go? If your sister just died of Ebola, and you think you were going to get it, tell me where you'd go. I'll give you three choices. A, you'd stay in Liberia and die a horrible death in a mud hut. B, you'd get out of there as fast as you can if you had to sell pots and pans in the street to get the ticket together. You'd fly to Texas as fast as you could, wherever else they're not required to screen you, and get a gold-plated treatment. What would you do? It's common sense. Common sense also dictates that you don't let them in. Common sense says, okay, compassion, yes, but protection of the tribe first. Moses in the desert. I go back to the desert. They wanted to see who the lepers were. Why? They didn't want to hurt the leper, but they didn't want the rest of the tribe to become leprous. So they did a careful differential diagnosis, and in those days, they put the leper out into the desert. Of course, we don't do that now. Now we go out in the world and look for the lepers and bring them into our cities and schools and hospitals because that's the way to make things fair and equitable. You can't have a nation with such good health in a world with such sickness. Obama wants equality. He wants fairness. And it's only fair that America have a nice epidemic or two or three or four in order to really feel what it's like to be in the third world. You have to understand. You have to look at it from the point of view of a leftist. Now, it's true their adage has always been bring it down, man, or bring it down, girl. Bring it all down, man. Well, okay, bring it all down. They're bringing it all down pretty good. So what are you going to do about it? Laugh about it? Cry about it? Get furious about it? Educate yourself about it? There's very little you could do right now, but use common sense. That's about all you have left, common sense. You're not getting it from the top down. As you know, a fish rots from the head down. The fish's head here in this country was rotten before it was even the head. So now look what you have. Take a look at what the results are. How many people are going to wake up in time for November to fire every Democrat, socialist, Islamist that's on the ticket? I don't care if they're dog catcher. If they're on the D side of the column, you vote no, and you vote for anybody else. It doesn't matter who they are. Just do not vote for anyone with a D next to the name. Democrat, socialist, Islamist. That's what they are. And look what they've done to our borders, language, and culture. Do you understand that? But that's only the beginning. That was the prelude to what's coming. That was the overture to the symphony of what Obama would like to do to America, in my opinion. See, now it's all no holds barred. I'm ready to unleash now. Not this second, but I'm moving into that realm. I can't hold it back anymore. I think this is on purpose. For a long while, I was debating, is it on purpose or incompetent? Doesn't matter. Now I think it's on purpose, by the way. And so it leaves the people with very few options. There's only one left. It's coming in a month. You vote. Anyone with a D next to their name, Democrat, Socialist, Islamist, you vote against them. I don't care who it is. I didn't say vote Republican. I'm not working for the RNC. I don't like them. They don't like me. They wouldn't invite me to their parties. I don't go to their country clubs. I don't go to any country club. As Groucho said, anyone would have me a member of their country club, I don't want to join. That's absolutely true. But it's especially true of the Republicans. I never met a Republican I could get along with. They're too straight for me. They're too narrow for me. They're too rigid for me. But I'll take the worst Republican over the best Democrat, since the word best Democrat, the words best Democrat are oxymoronic. Any Democrat is a Democrat, Socialist, Islamist, in my opinion, because that's where their policies lie. They follow the doxies of the religion called the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party is basically a religious cult. Their religion is liberalism. And they follow the playbook. They don't vary. They follow a chapter and verse. So I would like you to follow my playbook, chapter and verse. My playbook, chapter and verse, are the 30 books I've written. If you have one, read it, because you know what? They're still relevant. But the new facts are in Stop the Coming Civil War, and I want you to have a copy. And you can buy it right now on Barnes & Noble. You can wait till Tuesday to go in and buy a few. It's that simple. I'm not writing another one. By the way, the publisher wants the next one. I don't think I'm doing it. That's it. I'm never going to do another book like this. It's too stressful. It took me a year and a half, and it's gotten to a point where I never want to do another one. If I live past this, and I hope I will, and I'm still in radio by that time of the presidential election, I will do a book on Teddy. And I don't mean Teddy Roosevelt. It'll be on my dog, Teddy. It will be a book on my dog, Teddy. Teddy and I. His observations. My observations. No, think about how nice that would be, Neil. I mean, I'm actually looking forward to that one. Pictures of me and the dog in a car. Me and the dog in a restaurant. Me and the dog. I should say the dog and me. I mean, I don't know who's handling who here. I think he's... I don't know if I'm his handler. No, he's definitely handling me. I mean, when I go to a certain restaurant, I order him the hamburger, and it comes before my meal, the sirloin burger. So they always say, here's Teddy's food. He always gets it first. I don't understand this. And it's top-grade meat. They give him the better food. But since he's only 10 pounds, I'm his taster. I'm his food taster. So I knock off half the sirloin with the salad, and that's how I cheat on my diet and get a little meat into my diet. As I get a little meat in the diet, I'm only tasting the dog's food. Oh, my God. It's really going to get worse. Ebola is diagnosed in Texas. First case found in the U.S. He is not a missionary, as I first suspected. He is not a missionary. Comes from an African family, and his sister died in his arms. And then he fled Liberia for America, where he gets nice free treatment in Dallas. Because you know what? We're a compassionate nation. You don't want to become a nation that's not compassionate. And the liberal way is to see, I'd rather see 20 million people infected than one poor Ebola patient turned away. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. What the heck is going to happen? Look what Summer wrote. When he was dubbed the chosen one by the forces behind the new Democrat platform, he was probably told that all he had to do was be the public face when needed. Other than that, he would be allowed to live a life of luxury in exchange for saying whatever he is told to say when he is allowed to speak. This man has no convictions, no moral center, and no experience to run the country. He is the most obvious case of puppetry ever foisted on the American people. In light of all that, he is not responsible for anything, while there are forces behind him that are pushing an agenda that is very anti-American by nature, written by someone. It's frightening, isn't it? Why do so many people believe that? Why do so many people have this sense that this country is being taken down on purpose? Is this a racial issue? Is this an issue of white men feeling that they're no longer in charge and they're resentful that a man of several races is in the White House and they're no longer represented by the government? Is that what it is? Can it be that simple? No, it isn't that simple. Not when so many bad things are happening in so many places in the world. It seems to me that whatever this man has touched has gone up in smoke. So you say, well, it's either by design or by accident. In either case, it doesn't matter. To me, the last straw was bringing in the infected children. Being a trained epidemiologist, that means I study epidemics. I have an intuition with regard to epidemics. It doesn't mean I have to be a great statistician to be an epidemiologist. That's what it's become today. Many of them are like doctors. They look at your charts. They don't look at you, the patient. Right? Does that make them a better doctor because they look at your charts, not at you? As an epidemiologist, I have an intuition about epidemics. I always have. I've always studied epidemics from that point of view of the, put in another context, the global intuitive perspective. There is not a sane reason to bring infected children into a nation other than to infect the nation. There is not a sane reason to take 3,000 or 4,000 troops and send them into a hot Ebola zone without expecting at least one of them to come back with Ebola, unless you want to infect the nation with Ebola. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Do you have any idea what this rises to? It rises to levels of treason. It actually exceeds any level of treason I've ever seen. It's going to get much worse, I'm warning you. And I'm telling you again, you can do something about it. You can buy Stop the Coming Civil War. That's my new book. It's out October 7th. Why am I hammering the book so much? You think I want to get rich? Let me explain something to you. This country is on the brink of extinction. God, laugh if you want. If you tell me that when you read that 1 out of 3 children in California is an illegal alien who does not speak English, tell me what the future of this country looks like. They're not all going to integrate. They're not going to all assimilate. If you want to know what America will look like, take a look at Tijuana. That's what the Democrat socialist machine wants, is ignoramuses who don't even speak the language so they can pull the wool over their eyes and build railway lines to nowhere. So what does my book have to do with it? If you get the book and you simply hold it at work, put it on your desk at work, put it on a coffee table, and people say, what's this Stop the Coming Civil War about? Bingo. You have the billboard. You have a discussion. You have a chance to throw the bums out. In the days of the Mongol conquests, when the Mongols were assailing city walls, they took those infected with the plague and catapulted them over the city walls into the enemy's city quarters. You know why they did so? They wanted the infection to spread in the community that they were assailing. Do I have to spell it out for you? Do I have to go from A to B to C to D? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's almost heartbreaking for me to even admit this to you or say it to you. And yet what kills me the most is not that he or whoever they are behind him doing this to this great country, but that there's no outcry. The worst part here is that the people are robotic, paralyzed, drugged. Everyone's on a medication, Obamacare medication, golf medication, television medication, diet medication, Pilates medication, gym medication, sex medication. Everybody's doing something else. A broken nation. A nation of broken, sick, sexually mad puppets. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Does it take a genius to comprehend that a nation that has no borders is no longer a nation? That a nation that has no health officials is no longer a nation that is healthy? That a nation that has a paralyzed military is no longer a nation that can protect itself? That a nation that cannot protect a president from bullets flying at the White House, a fence jumper, cannot protect the president?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Secret Service Director to resign. The biggest bully in the history of the Secret Service, who bulled her way to the top by intimidating men with her tough demeanor, Julia Pearson, is resigning in the wake of several security breaches, according to so-called administration officials. Julia Pearson, the director of the Secret Service, who thought she bulled her way through the hearings yesterday, is resigning. And the only better news would be that Obama resigned, because he's done far more damage than she has. Intruder enters the White House. Bullets hit the residence. State dinner crashed. One thing after another. So finally she's going. But don't clap yet. I'm very happy to tell you that she's resigned, but the better news would be that he'd resign. What she's done is nothing compared to what he's done and what he's going to do. You understand this? You understand where I'm coming from? There have been presidents who resigned, by the way. Nixon resigned. He was forced to resign. Why? We had a legitimate press then. Of course, it was anti-Republican, so it presented itself as legitimate. But now we have fellow travelers. I should say sister travelers, sorry. The word fellow traveler no longer applies. we have sister travelers in the U.S. media. Meanwhile, Steve Wynn, one of America's own billionaires, owns the Wynn Resort in Las Vegas and casinos in Macau, said that I'm more scared about the United States than China. I don't know if you understand what this means. Listen to what he said. He's more scared about the United States than I am about China, he told CNBC this week at the Global Gaming Expo in Las Vegas. He said the protests in Hong Kong have become sort of a party out there. Are you listening? He said the situation in China will be resolved because everyone in China is pragmatic and practical. And he goes on about China, and he says the central government of China is willing to let everybody vote, but they want to have some positive input on the nominations, blah, blah, blah. And he said they want to maintain control. Then he compares the business climate in China to that of the United States, and he says the regulatory burden in China is infinitesimal compared to the crap we get in America. And then he goes on. And then he goes on to say this. Are you ready for this? And you got to hear this one. He says, I am stunned at the immaturity of this administration. We elected a man as president who had no experience at anything. Did you hear that one? Do you like that one? And then he goes on to the possibility that the federal government in the United States may punish companies that do inversions. He says the administration wants to punish everybody. That's part of the political mentality at the moment in America. Punish people. That's the story of Obama. He only knows how to hate and hurt. The phone number is 855-407-282. Are you worried about the Ebola epidemic? As a result of the liberal psychotics who have destroyed and debased every element of America that was worth respecting, America now has the scourge, the plague of Ebola to contend with. I could ask you, who do you blame for the Ebola outbreak in America? But it's a redundant question. There was no Ebola in America until Obama and his minions, his not-so-merry pranksters, refused to do what was necessary, which is close the damn borders to all travelers from the regions of infection. That's the primary rule of epidemiology. Beginners in graduate school learn that. At least they used to learn it. Of course, once the politically correct psychosis invaded even the graduate schools, people don't even talk about maintaining or containing illnesses anymore. They talk about treating illnesses. That's the new watchword. They think they can treat Ebola? Really? How's that working out in Africa? It's spreading like a plague in Africa because it's not treatable in Africa. And if you think you're immune, good luck to you. Now, good luck to you. I want to tell you this. People are debating whether Obama is out to destroy America purposely or through incompetence. The answer is it doesn't matter, because whatever this man has touched has been a ruination. There's nothing he has done that has worked correctly. Now it's come down to infections and disease. And again, the country is like a dumb country, like a nation of dummies. I don't understand how this country became so dumb so fast. There's no common sense anywhere. You've got a liar at the Centers for Disease Dissemination, Dr. Friedkin. Dr. Friedkin is nothing but a political hack. From the get-go, he was selected by a selected community that wanted no quarantine of any kind for any illness ever. So as a result, now you have an Ebola outbreak in America. They should have quarantined the patients in Africa. So now we find out it's even worse than we think. He had contact with 10 children, and they won't even identify what flight he was on. How do you like that? Your liars at the CDC will not even identify which flight this infected individual from Africa was on when he came from Liberia. Did he come directly from Liberia, or did he go to Paris? Did he go Liberia, Paris, Dallas? Did he go Liberia, Frankfurt, New York, Dallas? I don't know. Wouldn't a legitimate government, a government that really cared about the health of the people, the safety of the people, say if you were on these flights, please get checked, go to a hospital? But that's not a legitimate government that's operating today. We have an illegitimate punitive government. I'm not the only one saying it. Some powerful billionaires are finally speaking out against the psychosis coming out of the White House. Just as the Secret Service can no longer protect the president, as evidenced by what's been going on, because they put a clown, politically correct clown, in charge of the Secret Service, who thought she bulled her way through the session yesterday just by talking loud and looking tough. She looked like just what she is, a woman who bullied her way to the top of the Secret Service. Now you have a guy who was put into the CDC was nothing but a political front man. A mouthpiece, in other words, for the crowd that runs America the way they run it. So look, I can talk about this till kingdom come. What good is it going to do you? What good is it going to do you to learn today that the mystery illness that is not such a mystery to me, that was brought in here by accident or on purpose by Obama and his minions from Central America, the so-called virus, ED68 or whatever the number is they're giving it. We know that it emanated from Central America. We know that many of the children coming in from Central America by Obama's direct orders on by the trainload were infected with tuberculosis and viral-like symptoms. And how do we know that was true? Because the Border Patrol was telling us. They were begging us to stop it. But Obama is such a zealot. Obama is so intent upon pushing his agenda and satisfying La Raza and forces like La Raza that he cared nothing about the health of the nation, nor the safety of the nation. So wherever you turn, there is a wreckage. If we had a legitimate president with a conscience, he would resign. He would say, you know what, I meant well, but I screwed up at every level, I'm resigning. But you don't have such a situation. You have a zealot who has no conscience, in my opinion. He has no knowledge of the damage he's doing. Perhaps he doesn't even understand what he's done. Or perhaps he does know what he's done. What's the difference? What the situation is? Look, folks, the first Ebola case has been diagnosed in the United States. It's exactly my worst fears. They did it to us. The CDC heads should be fired, just as the heads of the Secret Service should have been fired, for permitting this to have occurred. This could have been predicted. I try to warn you as a trained epidemiologist that was inevitable. An unnamed patient was being tested for Ebola and placed in strict isolation due to the patient's symptoms and recent travel history. Recent travel history. That means he was brought in from West Africa. That means because Obama broke down our borders and has eliminated any testing or screening of illegal aliens, whether they be coming from Guatemala, El Salvador, Nicaragua, Honduras, or now from Africa. Because of this open-door policy, the CDC has confirmed the first Ebola case in the United States. This is heartbreaking. It's an act of treason. The treason was committed by your government. Your government could have prevented this. The Obama government should have known better. The Obama government either knew better and let this happen on purpose. I can't imagine that anyone would want Ebola to spread in America. I don't know why they would do that. But they've done it. Wouldn't common sense have dictated that you don't send 3,000 healthy American troops into the Ebola zone in Africa? Doesn't common sense dictate that you don't bring children with tuberculosis into America? You don't bring children with a paralytic viral infection into our schools? Doesn't common sense say you don't do that if you care about the nation? There's something so treasonous and sinister and diabolical about this administration that all I can give you are the facts as they emerge. As we sit here every day on this program, we watch things happen that are unimaginable. We had no Ebola here. TB was almost wiped out in America. Paralytic disease emerged from the children that he brought in by the trainload. The government should have stopped this. The government could have stopped this. The government had no right to have permitted this to have happened. Those responsible, in my opinion, are the Centers for Disease Dissemination. The very same cretinous individuals telling you not to worry, the very same cretinous political appointees who are going to tell you not to worry are the ones who should be tried for a crime against humanity, because they could have stopped this. They could have stopped this if they had followed commonsensical epidemiological protocols. The Centers for Disease Control have become the Centers for Disease Dissemination in this country. They have said nothing and done nothing as Obama was bringing in trainloads of infected children, children who have brought tuberculosis, viral illnesses to schools across the 50 states. Well, they confirmed the first Ebola case has been brought back to this country. My friends, my book, Stop the Coming Civil War, predicted this. I implore you to buy an advance copy so the minute it's out, you have it in your hands. You can take it to work. You can put it at your workstation. You can put it on your coffee table. You can go to work with it in your hand. I'm trying to warn you that America is at the breaking point. We have to change the current government. We have to stop the liberal left-wing policies that are eating away at the principles that Americans hold most dear. Use your power at the voting booth. Join your fellow Americans in helping to stop the coming civil war. Why do I blame the Centers for Disease Dissemination for this horrendous epidemic coming to our nation? We were blessed with geographic isolation from the horrors of the Third World. For centuries, we had the protections of our geographic isolation from diseases that had never, ever seen the light of day from the east to the west. Some diseases had been here and were endemic, such as malaria, yellow fever. But with the advances in modern American medicine, epidemics such as those were snuffed out. And now they're being brought back because of a total and absolute breakdown in the thinking of the so-called government. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
Security plan was not properly executed. This is unacceptable, and I take full responsibility, and I will make sure that it does not happen again.
That's Jody Pearson, the bully, who resigned from the Secret Service. And he's been replaced by Joseph Clancy. So when it comes to protecting himself, at least he knows the right thing to do. Pointed a guy who's right out of the central casting for Big Irish Cop. As interim acting director of Secret Service, I'm appointing Joseph Clancy, formerly special agent in charge of the Presidential Protective Division of the Secret Service, said Jeh Johnson. Whoever, I love Jeh Johnson. He's in Homeland Security. He opened the borders up to the virus. Didn't protect us from the Ebola virus. Jeh Johnson should resign. Put another man in charge there who cares about America. Then maybe I'd have some confidence. But at least when it comes to protecting the president, I feel better. They got rid of a politically correct appointee who was the worst in history and put a man in there who obviously knows what he's doing. Let's hope so anyway. Our hopes go out for that. Obama's immigrant surge threatens to destroy America. Do you agree with that or not? That's my first chapter, Graduating to Treason. I'm not going to read the book. I'm talking about diseases that he's bringing in. The children, the unprecedented number of diseased children that were brought in without a word from a public health official anywhere in the United States of America. But I want to read something to you. And remember this, I earned my doctorate in the field of epidemiology and human nutrition at the University of California at Berkeley. And I know more about this subject than anyone else in broadcasting. And I've been trying to warn America about the dangers of illegal immigration into the United States and the risk of epidemics since the early 1980s, page 11. Today, the topic is Ebola, the incompetence of the administration. They could have prevented this patient from arriving in America had they done what epidemiological data indicates should have been done. Every epidemiologist knows that the way to contain an epidemic is to prevent those in the epidemic region from traveling outside of the region. You put a quarantine around the countries of origin. That means you don't let anyone from West Africa leave the countries. At least you don't let them into your nation if you're sane. But we're not sane. Obama flooded America with children from Central America with the mystery virus, which is now killing children in America, right? The first child died from a mystery virus. It's not a mystery virus. It came from Central America with Obama's children that he brought in by the trainload. Now we learn today the Ebola patient flew in from Liberia, wasn't stopped, had contact with school-aged children, and now there's a second possible Ebola case in Dallas. What do you want me to tell you? That I'm not freaked out that this government is doing this either through direct incompetence, as the Secret Service is now incompetent and can't protect the president. You're telling me you think the CDC can protect you from Ebola? I got another guess coming for you. Five kids had contact with Ebola patient. Write that down, moron. Authorities say five students who had contact with a man diagnosed with Ebola in Dallas are being monitored, but are not showing any symptoms of the disease. Really. The students were in school this week after possibly being in contact with the man. The man? Oh, the man. Who is the man? The unidentified man is the first person to be diagnosed with Ebola in the U.S. The unidentified man, what country is he from? Is he a citizen? Of course not. It's another one of Obama's children maybe one of his friends. You have no idea what's coming, do you? The U.S. is unprepared for an Ebola pandemic. The Ebola virus, which I'm calling the Obola virus, was brought in by non-citizen from Liberia. It's a headline on MichaelSavage.com. And on the Secret Service, they didn't even file paperwork on the elevator incident where a convict with a gun rode with Obama in an elevator. Are you believing this? So at this point, maybe it's not a conspiracy to destroy America. Maybe it isn't. Maybe it's just a group of left-wing fanatics who are incompetent at any speed. And that's the same thing as doing it on purpose, is it not? It's why I wrote Stop the Coming Civil War. It's published on Tuesday. Do your job. Write it down. Go to the bookstore and buy it. Why? This book is a document that will lay the groundwork to impeach President Barack Obama and also to impeach the entire Democrat Party. There is no single document that's better to throw the Democrats out and start impeachment proceedings and possibly just save America. Remember what I said, stop the coming civil war. This is Michael Savage, God bless America.
Savage.